Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to the Screenwriters Network podcast. The Screenwriters Network is the largest Discord server of screenwriters in the world. And on this show, we interview members of our community. I'm your host, Smish. And today we're going to be talking to Chris Hicks, also known as Write Chris Write in the server. Welcome to the show, Chris. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah. So, Chris, you've had a pretty busy year. You're a super active member of our Discord server. Here's a quick recap. Just over a year ago, I guess, you wrote your first feature script called A Killer Musical for the Write a Bitchin' Screenplay Contest.
Yes, I did. Yep.
Yeah, and you placed as a semi-finalist. You wrote your second feature script called Heck for our Public Domain Contest, in which you came in second place. And and you were a semi-finalist at Austin Film Festival with that script. Clapping, silent clapping for that. Good job.
Oh, thank you.
You wrote a horror short called Field Test for our horror anthology, which has been doing awesome in contests. You probably have some horror shorts entered into our killer shorts contest, which is going on right now.
Yep.
Got a couple in there. Yeah. And your third feature script is called Florida Man, which was a title palooza title from our daily logline challenge that we have in the server. And you actually won the opportunity to pitch it at Austin Film Festival, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that was it was through their Twitter contest that they had. So
right. Yeah, that's cool. But wait, there's more.
Oh.
You're on the 2018 Smish list with a TV pilot called Gym City, which was also a second rounder at Austin. Oh. And that's not even everything, but I'm going to stop there. I mean, wow, that's a lot. Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'm going to have to play that back and listen to it again so I can...
Listen to it every day.
Yeah. Whenever I feel like I suck. You know, like,
Just listen back to how awesome you are. So how would you say being a member of our community has helped you as a writer?
I mean, it's been incredibly helpful. It's a very supportive group. I think I'm pretty new to the screenwriting call it the field of screenwriting. So, I've only been doing it for about 2 or 3 years. One of the things you notice if you go on, places like Reddit or some of the Facebook groups, they can be very salty, toxic communities just because there's just a lot of negativity, because we're always getting rejected. We're always being told it's good enough. We're always getting no, which is, you kind of get conditioned to that. But one of the things about this community is that, it's really supportive. Everybody tends to cheer for one another when we do well. When people will post up that they placed in a contest or something that they advanced or got made. We had a member on the hit list this year. One or two.
Shout out to Mark.
Yeah, shout out
who
to
was
Mark.
My first podcast interview guest. Yeah, he's got a script on the hit list, which is pretty sweet.
He's got a script on the hit list, and he's a regional Emmy Award winner as well.
So yeah, don't forget that. Winner. He winner. Won the Emmy. Yeah.
Yes, he did. Yes.
No. Yeah, that's great. Well, I mean, I think it's always great to see when our contests motivate people to write. And I think that you're a really great example of that because you literally enter every single contest that we've done. And you take part in things like Title Palooza, which is, to help people generate ideas for movies. And I always hope that, they're going to come up with an idea they actually want to write. And it does happen quite often that people are like, oh, that log line actually is good. I'm going to write that. And that happened to you. You came up, the title was Florida Man, which was a title I came up with. And then you ran with that and you came up with a log line and you decided that you were going to write it. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah. The Title Palooza was definitely a fun idea generator. You can go in and you see different titles and just like, all right, what does this fit with or what could this potentially fit with? And just, just play around with it like that. So definitely had some, with Florida Man, wrote that one. There's a few others that I've, with the Title Paloozas that I
Right.
You know, wrote some good ones, like, yeah, you know, I might come back to that one day. You know, it just seemed like something that could be something there. So.
Yeah. And Tidalpalooza is actually a book on Amazon. If anyone wants to buy that, shout out to my book, but just kidding.
We'll post a link.
Don't worry. Yeah.
Podcast notes. Yes. Smash that like and subscribe button.
Smash it. That's cool. You're so hip, Chris.
I try.
I don't know. Well, how you do it.
I think I'm very not though. I think it's just more of an ironic dad hip that I go for.
True.
It's like, I try to do it in a way to be, you know, to embarrass my children. And
yeah.
So.
Right. Because you're an older man, aren't you?
I am. Well, yeah, I'm older. I am a senior member. I am past the, the spring years of my life. I'm into the autumn years. You know, I've got there's some grays in places there shouldn't be. I'm 45. So yeah.
Yeah.
You know, as coming into this late. So yeah, there's a lot of people who are a lot younger.
I think they're keeping you hip though. You know, I know that happens for me because I'm 38.
Yeah.
But I say things like word and heard and, I'm starting to say slap a bit more. That slaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This slaps or that. yeah. I haven't jumped into the slaps yet, but I like yeet. Yeet is a good one. Yes. That's one of my favorites.
That is a good one.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a popular one. But anyways, let's get back to talking about stuff people actually want to listen to. So write a lot of short scripts as well as features.
Yes.
And you've actually optioned more than a dozen short screenplays. Is that correct?
Around about that. Yeah. Roughly around a dozen. I cut my teeth on, in sketch comedy. So actually about 4 or 5 years ago, I did some sketch comedy with a local comedy group, and I performed on the stage and wrote with a comedy troupe, and some of the sketches that I wrote on the stage I converted to screenplays. And actually there's a subreddit called Produce My Script, and that's where I sold my very first script. I think it was about 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. So it was a short script on there. So I've sold like 3 or 4 through there, and then a couple more through Script Revolution, and then just locally reaching out to people and in the industry locally who produce and film. Managed to option a few more that way.
Oh, that's awesome! Yeah, because I was going to ask you, how do you find these filmmakers? Because the people that option it, I mean, sometimes they actually do go out and produce a short film based on your screenplay. So do you have any advice for other people who write short film screenplays on how to get found by people that might want to make them?
Well, I would say, obviously, I think the Reddit, Produce My Script is it's an okay way of doing it. I mean, I've had some success there. It's a very passive way of doing it. You're basically putting a link out there hoping. It's like fishing, you put your line in the water, kind of bobber fishing. You just kind of throw it out there and hope somebody takes a nibble off of it. But, that one's good. Script Revolution's the same way. I think usually if, depending on where you're at, there's probably somebody who wants to film locally. Just do some, look on Facebook groups and find some filmmakers locally and, try and network that way. I had a little bit of luck doing that. So even here in Ohio. So
what would you say is the benefit to you as a screenwriter to let other people go out there and make your short film scripts? Because I'm guessing it's not money, right? So can you tell me a bit about what it's like to see your work produced?
It's very interesting. Depending on the level of, the filmmakers that you're working with, obviously, if you're just starting out, they're going to be very amateur to begin with. So I think seeing it, you learn a little bit more about the process and kind of get an understanding for, the difference between words on the page and then words on the screen and, different types of acting there is. Stage acting is very more over-emoting and a little more theatrical, whereas, film acting can be a little more realistic, less Shakespearean, I guess. So No, it's, I think, you know, after seeing a few things made, I don't know, just you really get an appreciation for timing, especially bad timing on film, because, you know, especially in comedy, because a extra half second or second of dead air during comedy just totally, it just ruins the timing of everything. And even if you've got a great line that, or great line or great action to, you know, to make the audience laugh, if there's anything in there that just throws off that timing a little bit, you lose your crowd.
Yeah. I was going to ask if you've ever been displeased with how it turned out, but I'm guessing that's something that's happened to you maybe a few times where you felt like the comedy didn't land when it was filmed.
I mean, it's not that, I mean, not so much displeased. It's just, I think you're always happy to see your work made. It's just, you know, it's always when you see something, especially as just as a screenwriter, you're handing your baby off to somebody else to, you know, put their own thumbprint on it to, and, you know, the director's going to change what they want and, you know, make some little changes that you may not agree with. But, you know, when you sign over the option, or you sign over the, you know, the agreement to have them make it, you know, you kind of give up some of that creative control if you're not making it yourself. So it's a bit of a process that you have to adjust to. And so, yeah,
it's still really cool though. And you get those IMDb credits, right?
Oh yeah. All 2.5, I think. Right.
Sweet. Yeah. So about a year ago, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was about a year ago, you started writing prose stories on the No Sleep subreddit, which is a Reddit for scary stories that are treated as truth. Would you say that's an accurate description of what that Reddit is?
So it's called the No Sleep subreddit. So yeah, one of the taglines is basically everything is real, even things that aren't. So basically it's kind of an immersion of, it's a horror immersion. It's a lot of first person stories of, you know, people saying how they're, you know, basically experiencing something first person.
Right. Okay. So it's all first person, scary or like horror type stories.
Yeah.
And people treat it like it's reality.
Yeah. So it's okay. Yeah. Yep.
So why did you decide to try a different format besides screenwriting?
Really just for fun. I don't know. I've always been a fan of horror. I think, from a sellability standpoint, I think horror is a little more approachable as an avenue in as well. So I think I wanted to kind of challenge myself and up my horror writing game. And I think, you know, horror and comedy kind of track pretty well, kind of similarly, because you're taking common setups or common, you know, very approachable concepts, and then, you know, taking, you know, the reader or the viewer on a, you know, taking them in a different way about it. So you're taking like a what if scenario and then just either trying to make them laugh or trying to scare the shit out of them, or, you know, something along those lines. So,
right.
So yeah, it was about October of last year. Had a few ideas after reading some stories on there. It's basically how it starts. You know, you read a few stories like, yeah, I think I could try this. And, you know, you see what does well on the site, and you see which ones don't. You kind of also kind of track, all right, what time of day are people most active? So you try and, you know, kind of play the lottery of like, okay, if you get the right story and release it at the right time with the right clickbait title, you should get some readers. So yeah, around last October, I wrote two different stories that did pretty well. One of them was voted best of the month, which ended up being on the, there's a podcast it's called the No Sleep Podcast. It used to be part of the subreddit, but it ended up spinning off onto its own entity, and actually got produced on there last February, I think. And then I also had another story later that month that is, I think, last I checked, it's like the number 9 or 10 story all time on No Sleep. So
wow,
Yeah.
So you've been really successful on there. What does it mean to have your story produced on their podcast? Like they did it like an audio drama?
Oh yeah, they did it like an audio drama. It was an audio drama. Okay. So yeah, it was about a 20, 30 minute read. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun hearing it. You know, they put in the sound effects and all that good stuff. So yeah, it was very interesting, very exciting.
What was it, just one person speaking?
There were two. So there was my story was about a ghostly hitchhiker. So a guy goes to pick up a hitchhiker, and so I had the voice of the narrator or the driver, and then there was also the voice of the hitchhiker. Well,
nice. That's really cool. I'm gonna have to listen to that one.
Yeah, I'll send you a link.
Yeah, please do. So, one of your no sleep stories is the number 6 all time most upvoted on the site.
Oh, okay, number 6. Right?
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah,
this information is coming to me from your website. So, if it's wrong, I blame you. But in September.
It may have slid down a little bit.
It may have slid down. Okay. Yeah. So you might need to update that website.
Yeah.
But yeah, in September, you optioned the story called My Family Runs an All-You-Can-Eat Restaurant for adaptation into a feature film.
Yes.
Holy crap. That's crazy. How did that happen?
How it happened was incredibly crazy. So I wrote the short story back in January. And I actually had some help with somebody on the server. Shout out to Schlock for his assistance, because the story is about an Indian family who lives in Indiana, and they open an all-you-can-eat restaurant in this rural town. And the restaurant's not doing very well. So one of the family members invokes the favor of a Hindu demon called a Brahma Rakshasa. And basically, you know, as a result of, you know, the happenings of the main character, it doesn't leave, it stays. So they're basically feeding this monster 24/7 that looks like this, you know, sweet old lady when she's not in her, you know, demonic form. So, I got some help from Schlock on some of the language and some of the cultural things that were outside of my realm of knowledge. So definitely was very helpful with that. And so I wrote the first story, and I really wasn't planning on doing an update, but I got a lot of positive feedback from the readers there. And I was like, oh, there's a little more story to play here. So I had to dig a little deeper into it. And I wrote the second update, I want to say around March. And then shortly after the second update was posted on Reddit, I got a message on Instagram. So yeah, I'm Wright Chris Wright pretty much everywhere. So if you type that in any, you know, social media, you'll find me. So like just by luck that I get a message on Instagram, and it is from a executive assistant at a production company. And she said she loved the story. She saw that also I was a screenwriter and was interested in knowing if I would be interested in optioning my story. And I said emphatically yes. And and at that point, the story wasn't even finished. I just had two parts to it. So there was definitely some pressure on my point to like, oh shit, I really need to finish the story well. So I think I ended up putting 4 updates or 4 different parts to it together. Shortly after the whole story was completed, around about, I think it was the last update went out in June, I had a call with the production company, with the assistant, and also the head of the company. We talked about the story, where I felt the story could go, what they liked about it. And so, yeah, just kind of moved on from there. So it's currently optioned. Hopefully it will see the light of day as either a movie or possibly even a series. The company does a lot of production for India, which is really what caught their attention to it as well. So it might be a local language exclusive to India when it comes out, but that's still 1.3 billion people. So I would be perfectly fine with that.
So, yeah, definitely. Wow, yeah. That's really cool. And so you didn't have an agent or a manager or anything when this happened, right?
No, not at all. So yeah. I literally went on Twitter and sent out a tweet saying, hey, I got a contract. Anybody out there want to help me? And I got some support. Actually, I went on the Discord as well and asked for some folks there as well. I was like, hey, I think mm-hmm. I might need a lawyer. And I got a number of different people give me names of people I could reach out to, mm-hmm. both on the Discord and also on Twitter. And I did find a manager on Twitter who wasn't my manager, but acted in a manager capacity to help me through the contract negotiation piece of it. And, you know, it's very, I don't know, because it's your first time doing it, there's a lot of apprehension of like, all right, I want this to go through, but I also don't want to get screwed over. But
exactly.
I don't want to get screwed over, but I don't want to fuck it up either.
Right. You don't want to try too hard to not get screwed over and then have the whole thing fall apart because you're being too paranoid or difficult to work with.
Yeah. You don't want to roll over, but you don't also want to, you know, be too difficult to work with. So like, you know, because you mm-hmm. want to, at the end of the day, you want to be somebody that they may want to work with again. So you definitely want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a very eye-opening experience. And, you know, that was, we finally got everything signed and finished up in beginning of September. So yeah, so it's been 4 months now. So it was a 18-month initial option. So they've got time to work with it. So
yeah. Is there any news on that project that you can share with us?
Nothing currently that I can share. So.
Okay. It's pretty early. So that's pretty standard, I think.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations again. That's awesome. I remember when that happened, you know, because you shared the news with us in the Discord server and asked for advice. And I think I was one of the ones that said, just put a tweet out there because that's what I did. When I optioned a script for the first time, I didn't have an agent or a manager. And I was scared shitless of being screwed over somehow, even though the producer is a super great guy. I could tell. You know, he was a good guy. I just wanted to be really careful. So I put a tweet out there saying, can anyone help me look over this contract? And it was actually the same person that reached out to you.
Yeah, that reached out to me.
I don't know if we're allowed to say it publicly or not, but I know we both really appreciate her help.
Oh, yeah, very much.
And
so.
She knows who she is. And, and it's really nice. It was very cool that Instagram and Twitter and Reddit were your path. You know, that's. That's so bizarre, but cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting because it was when the message came through, it actually went to, like, it didn't come directly to me. There was that, you know, how some of them will send you to like a, it was like in the spam folder of like, mm-hmm. you know, you have a message request and, you know, half the times those are, you know, just garbage. So, like, oh, what is this? So I clicked on it and luckily it was only 2 or 3 days after the initial message went through. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's really neat. Mm-hmm. So it's called My Family Runs an All-You-Can-Eat Restaurant. It's not really a good title for a movie, if you ask me, but on No Sleep, Reddit, this is the kind of title that gets people to read it, right?
Yeah, you gotta have a clickbait title.
Yeah, exactly.
So the full title is My Family Runs an All-You-Can-Eat Restaurant. A customer has been here for the past 2 weeks, I think was the full title. So
Oh, I didn't even know that, man. Oh, that's hilarious. Well, I'm gonna read a few of your other No Sleep titles and correct me if they're actually longer. The Incredible True Story of Why I Can't Stand Mayo.
That is a true story. It's not a No Sleep story. That's more of a true life story of it was a horrible incident that actually happened to me when I worked at a condiment manufacturing company. It was only horror for me. It's comedy for everybody else.
Well, there's all kinds of horror.
Yes.
So, yeah. There's male horror. Let me read another one. Hopefully this one is a no sleep one, but it doesn't really matter. If you can see this, it is very important that you keep reading. Wow, that's definitely clickbait.
Very clickbait.
Was that no sleep?
Oh, yeah, that is no sleep. That's the one that's in the top. It's in the top 10 now currently. But, yeah, that was a...
I can see why.
Yeah, that one was a fun one because it kind of plays with the... planting suggestion in somebody, if you tell somebody, you know, you need to swallow or you need to blink or you're breathing manually, it kind of takes those cues and, you know, and puts it into a story where you're trying to tell the reader that they're stuck in a simulation And those are actually, you know, cues to say, okay, that's the program, you know, shutting down because they're trying to hunt down the virus. And, you know, I got a lot of trippy emails from people who read those, like, man, you fucked with my brain. What is that? Yeah. Now I think I'm in a simulation. I'm going back to the therapist. And
oh my God, that's fucked up, man. But really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's another one. This is the last one I'll share because it's the last one I could find. How to summon the Butter Street Hitchhiker.
Yes. So that's the one that I, that won the best of the month and ended up being on the No Sleep podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. That one's a cool title, I think. I like that one. Yeah. So, okay. So going back to screenwriting, your second feature script was called Heck, which you wrote for our public domain contest.
Yes.
And it was a semifinalist at Austin. And I said earlier, you also reached the second round with your pilot, Gym City. So has it helped you in any way since Austin? Like, have you had any read requests for either of those scripts?
I've had a couple of read requests that came about not directly as a result. I mean, not as a result of the, at the end of Austin, they send out a log line book of all the semifinalists and finalists and winners. So I haven't had any requests come in through that, but I have, you know, done some querying of my own where I, you know, put it in the subject line, Austin semifinalist script or, you know, second round script, things like that, which has led to some read requests that way. So it has, it has helped, I would say.
Yeah. So at this point, you're really successful. You just started screenwriting recently, as you said. Is it starting to go to your head a bit about how good you are?
No, actually, it's the opposite. Like, because I don't know. I went to Austin in October for the festival, and it was very, I don't know, it was very humbling, you know, because, you know, I, you know, think of myself a year ago before any of that had happened. I was like, you know, if you tell me, hey, you'll be a semifinalist at Austin this time next year, I'd be like, yeah, I'm way on my way. And then you get to, you know, you get the notification that you're a semifinalist and you get, there's all these groups behind the scenes of the semifinalists. You know, they make groups in like Facebook and things like that where people network and talk and kind of share scripts and, you know, what, you know, action plans when they get there. And, you know, people introducing themselves like, yeah, I've been an Austin semifinalist and a finalist twice. And you're just realizing that these people that have been on this journey, on this treadmill for so many years. And, you know, me just kind of, you know, 2 or 3 years into it, kind of naively thinking, yeah, I'm on my way. This is my foot in the door. And you realize, well, it's a big door that you got to push through. And yeah, it's a little humbling, but it's also, I took a little inventory after Austin. I was like, okay, this isn't, and that's one of the reasons why going into Austin, I wanted to have another script written so that I wasn't just sitting on, you know, my semifinalist script so I could talk about something else I'd written as well, because pretty much everybody that, you know, all of the panels that we went to at Austin, or even, you know, anybody that, you know, if you listen to a podcast of in screenwriting, it's always, you always got to be ready to answer the what else you got question. Mm-hmm. So, because I mean, especially, you know, with my semifinalist script, Heck, you know, it's a period piece. It's not the type of film that, I don't know. It's a type of film that does get made, but it's the type of film that I think is more of a, you know, a passion project that somebody makes versus something that, you know, gets sold as a spec. So, I mean, who knows? We'll see what happens. But yeah, it's not as approachable as like a, you know, a contained horror or contained thriller or something to that effect. So and one of the reasons why I was drawn to the public domain contest was, you know, I felt like that was good practice for, you know, a screenwriting career, whether it is or not, I don't know, because I don't know, if you look at the top films of the past year, what do you see? You see sequels, you see adaptations. You don't see very many original new idea stories. It's things of those nature. So odds are good that, you know, if you want to advance your career, you have to be able to work with somebody else's idea, and being able to demonstrate that you can play in somebody else's sandbox, take their characters, take the, the basic story elements and make something new and fresh and enjoyable is, I think, is a, at least I felt like it was a good practice for, you know, demonstrating that, that, hey, you know, you can trust me with your characters. You can trust me with your story. I can work with it. So it's not just, I don't know. That's just kind of where I felt like that was good practice for the eventual career when the door kicks down.
Heard. Yeah, that was some really good advice that you just dropped there. And that's exactly why we created the public domain contest. And to be honest, most of the contests that we do are because I want to do it. Obviously, I can't enter the contest, but I'll write along with everybody else. So I was writing a public domain script as well, based on the fairy tale, The Thumbling, about the little 5-inch tall man. And when I wrote it with another member of the server, shout out to Rodriguez. But, you know, we wanted to challenge ourselves and to prove that we could do it too. Exactly what you just said is the reason that we did it. Yeah. So it was a really good exercise.
And Agent Thumb, yeah, you guys were semifinalists at Screencrafting Public Domain, and then you guys won. Was it the Burbank Film Festival?
Yeah. Yes, thanks for mentioning that, Chris. Yeah, right. We did win Best Adapted Screenplay at the Burbank International Film Festival.
There we go.
Which we didn't know until several months later when the president contacted me wondering why I hadn't picked up my award yet. So that was embarrassing. Go to award shows if you can, because, like, what if you win? Holy shit. We did not think we were going to win. But yeah, that was pretty cool. So
very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, so tell me about pitching at Austin, because you pitched Florida Man. Tell me just a quick log line, if you can, off the top of your head, what Florida Man is about. And what was it like pitching at Austin? Were you on a stage? Were you in a room? What was that deal about?
Okay, so pitching at Austin, they have the script pitch competition that they have. It is a very condensed pitch. You have 90 seconds to pitch your story. Which is not very long. So the log line of the story that I did was called Florida Man. The log line is, when assigned to do a fluff piece on Florida Man, the real life imbecile responsible for the weird news happening in the state, an eager reporter unearths a political cover up that could take her career to the national stage. So you have 90 seconds. You're in a, yeah, it was done in a church. So it's a small classroom. There are, I want to say, 12 other people who pitch as well in each flight of pitch competitions. So there's a winner and there's a second place runner up. And it's very nerve wracking just because you don't have a lot of time. So you got to be able to tell a very condensed pitch of your story, you know, beginning, middle, and end, hit the major set pieces that you want to do. It's just very, coming away from it, it was very, it was a little humbling because, you know, I spent a lot of time that I went on, I pitched on Saturday, and I spent a good 5 or 6 hours just repeating the same, you know, 75 second phrase over and over and over and over and over again, just to try to make sure I had it down. And, you know, and again, like with films, you know, it's timing, it's your pace, you know, it's all of that stuff that it comes into the presentation piece of it. It's eye contact, you know, it's talking to the judges, and it's just very, it was very interesting. There were a few people who you could tell were very comfortable speaking in front of groups. I'm 50-50. Some days I'm good with it. Some days I'm not so much. I probably should have took a Xanax that day because I was incredibly nervous because I think I went like 8th or 9th in the group. So I had, it's kind of that, you know, if you go first, you don't have time for the nerves to build up, but you're nervous about going first. So like, there's like a sweet spot between number 4 and number 6, where it's like, okay, that's, you're not as nervous. You haven't reached peak nervousness. And you've seen enough people to go that you're not that nervous because you're the first person to go. So
right.
I was far enough in those. I was kind of, I was back to being nervous again by the time I got up there. And I think I might have, there might have been a somebody, a sound in the crowd when I was pitching too. I don't recall, but yeah, it was very, but yeah, I got through it. I survived, didn't advance, but you know, I got some good advice about, of doing it. And, yeah, definitely.
So they gave you feedback on your pitch?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was, yeah, there were a few people who were very good at it, that had practice. And I think, I don't know, there's, you know, the people who did very well, you could tell there was, it was conversational in tone. It didn't sound like a presentation. It just felt like they were just telling you, hey, there's this cool story I want to tell you. Mm-hmm. And then there were some people who, you know, that 90 seconds, you know, it flies like that. So,
Yeah,
at 60 seconds, the assistant puts her hand up in the air to let you know that you've only got 30 seconds left. So,
Oh my God. Yeah, so
people get very rushed and nervous when that happens. So
it sounds terrifying.
It was. Yeah. It could have. Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't fun.
And it was in a church. Did that make you feel weird being in a church?
No, I mean, it was a I can't remember which type of church it was, but it was like a big like church school type scenario, but
okay.
I mean, somebody had said fuck in one of the other ones, so I was okay. I didn't feel like I was blaspheming or anything like that.
Okay. So, yeah.
there wasn't a crucifix or a big statue of Jesus or Mary that was, you know, staring at me while I was pitching, so I didn't have to worry about that.
Okay. So when you're in Austin, you met up with other members of the server. How was that?
It was fun. Yeah, it was good to see get some real names and faces to, you know, people who were just ones and zeros online. It was, it was a lot of fun. Got to meet, I know I'm going to forget some names and I apologize in advance.
That's okay.
Yeah. When Alex, last week was on, or previous, episode was on, he had made a comment about, you know, yeah, I know I'm going to forget some names. And I made a note that was like, write down the names of everybody you met. And that's all I wrote down. I didn't actually do that.
So you didn't write the names.
So I want to get credit for remembering to try to remember, even though I didn't. So
I give you credit for that.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
So I met Script Chick. I met National Schlock, Alex, of course, Auto Lycan, and okay. I think that's where my memory gives out. I'm sure there's somebody else, but, and I apologize to you, sir or madam, whoever that was. So,
yeah, I still feel like we're missing somebody because I remember I wasn't there, unfortunately, but I know I saw a picture of everybody together. I feel like there was one other person there, but I can't think of who it was.
I feel, I feel bad, but I think there's somebody listening to this right now is going, it's me, motherfucker. God damn it.
I'm going to interview every person that was at that meetup.
Yeah.
And every time we're going to miss that one person who's just going to be stewing on this. But no, maybe there was no other person. So who was your favorite member to meet?
Oh, wow. That's a loaded question. Yeah. There. I want to think I was everybody's favorite member to meet.
You probably were. I know everyone was really excited to meet you.
No, I was, I would say because of, his path in and everything, I'd say definitely Alex was a lot of fun to meet just because, I don't know, we all got to kind of enjoy his success and watch him go through that success of winning Austin. He won the whole city.
He won the whole thing.
It was a
whole city. Yeah.
It was a 3-day siege. By the Irishman. Yes. He took the whole city by storm. No, it was a lot of fun, you know, meeting him, you know, National, definitely, Script Chick. I think.
No, you can't just relist everybody. I asked who is your favorite member to meet, but Script Chick is awesome.
Yeah. Well, she actually met me, like she found me and I had heard, she'd been on some of the, you know, some of the table reads. So I recognized her voice because I didn't recognize her because she's always got the corgi on her.
Right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was good. But yeah, definitely. I mean, for the thrill of seeing somebody win, definitely, you know, and his journey in, you know, I think Alex had a great weekend and it was fun to enjoy that vicariously through his adventure and seeing him enjoy, you know, just enjoying that success. It was a lot of fun to be
absolutely
witness to that. Yeah.
It was really cool.
He gave me his bottle of Prosecco that he got with his swag bag. I think it was Prosecco. Ooh. Yeah. So, because he couldn't take it back with him on his plane to Ireland. So,
right. Well, that was very nice of him.
It was very nice of him.
And that doesn't influence why he's your favorite member.
No.
No. did you bring your business cards? Because I know that's something that we talked about a lot in our Discord, and you made business cards as a screenwriter. So did you pass out a lot of business cards at Austin?
I probably handed about 15 or 20. So yeah, I did hand out a good, decent amount. So yeah, I tried to, I'm more comfortable on the side of the room than I am in the middle talking to people. So it was really out of my comfort zone being in a room full of other introverts, not wanting to talk to anybody. So, I think the alcohol definitely helped, and kind of just the aspect of everybody was kind of thrown into that same uncomfortable environment. You know, you kind of had to, you kind of turn on that. All right, let's enjoy the pain here and get out and get to know some folks. So, it was good. I got to meet a bunch of different screenwriters who, had some, different levels of success, different scripts, different styles. I didn't meet him at the film festival, but funny story was one of the guy who I optioned my first script to was also a semifinalist. So we didn't get to meet up. Yeah. So we didn't actually get to meet up at Austin, but we got to trade some emails beforehand. He was like, "Hey, I saw your name on the semifinalist list. I was wondering if that was you." I was like, "Yeah, that's me. Yep." So we traded scripts and kind of touched base again. And yeah, it was kind of cool. It's a small world.
So you're a pretty funny guy, but you don't just write comedy. Do you struggle when you're deciding which genre you want to write in for your next project?
I do, mostly because I feel like comedy is a tougher road, and the outsider insider perspective of the path in is that if you want to end, horror seems to be a more accessible path, whereas comedies don't get made at the level that they used to. I had even talked about that at one of the panels that I sat in on at Austin, was that comedies are not as universal as horror. Horror movies can be adapted into, dubbed into other countries a lot easier. Comedy is a little more cultural, and, in jokes and things like that that might land in, even jokes that might land in Ohio may not land in Florida, may not land in California. So it's hard to find that balance. Whereas, scary ghost story, is pretty universal. So definitely wanting to try to, push more towards the horror aspect or thriller aspect. The next script that I'm writing is going to be something outside of comedy. That's not to say you can't have some funny moments in it, just because you just have to. But yeah, it's going to try and, get out of that comfort zone a little bit and see if I can write something in the horror genre.
Nice. Yeah. So it's not exactly outside of your comfort zone, because you do write horror on No Sleep, and you've also written horror shorts, but you've never written a horror feature. Oh, you have, though. Your first script was a horror musical.
Yes, I did. The slasher
musical. But I guess you're not counting that.
It was more, I don't know. It was a slasher comedy musical. So yeah, it was kind of.
But you want to write something that's straight horror, not funny.
Yeah. Yeah, not funny, no musical numbers.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you have an idea of what you're going to write?
Got a couple ideas I'm kicking around. I have one that had an idea that I shelved at about, 75 pages that I might come back to and see if I can retool. But I had a few other ideas that I'm trying to see which one's the prettiest to take to the dance. So.
And so what are you working on now besides that, or is that your main focus is picking the next feature you're going to write? Do you have any other projects that you're working on right now?
I have a couple of things I've been working on. I'm trying to I have a few other No Sleep stories that I want to finish up. I've got a list of ideas and a few that I've started and stopped. I had a surgery earlier this year, which kind of derailed a little bit of my screenwriting and fiction writing as I was, you know, laid up on the couch, you know, healing. Didn't have as much time to write as I probably should have. But just trying to catch up on those things and trying to, kind of create a game plan for 2020 as to, what I'd like to do and what I'd like to accomplish next year. But definitely doing some more querying of existing scripts and then, trying to write a few more. I'd like to get three more projects in next year, hopefully.
Awesome. Yeah. That's a good goal. Well, Chris, if you don't mind sticking around, I have a few more really fun questions that I'd love to ask you, which will be available to our VIP members only as bonus content. But for now, tell everyone where they can learn more about you, or I should say remind everyone. What's your website? What's your Twitter, Discord?
Okay. So website is writechriswright.com. Twitter, Discord, Instagram, Facebook. It's all Write Chris Write. I mean, you'll find me there. So yeah. Reddit Perfect. As well. So
yeah. Yep. And that's Write, WRITE.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, thanks again for joining us, Chris. It was a pleasure having you. Congratulations on your success.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Listeners, if you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review us on iTunes, share it on social media, join the Discord server, and consider... Join the Discord server and consider supporting us on Patreon so you can get access to that sweet, sweet bonus content. I'm your host. Now you fucked it up for me.
I'm sorry.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I'm going to say all the good shit in the bonus point. All the secrets that you should be listening for are behind a paywall. So,
perfect.
Yes.
All right. I'll leave that in then. It's all right. That gives you a taste of what the bonus content's going to be like. I'm your host, Smish, saying peace out and keep on writing.